Ho, ho, ho.
It is a gorgeous Tuesday morning. I have tea in front of me, and it's not too cloudy and not too cold outside, so it's a perfect day to sit down with y'all and chat about one of my most requested digression topics, which is how to read 52 books in a year. And welcome back to Diddy and Hawthorne in the In-Between. I'm your host, Mackenzie Gentz, and you're listening to my podcast about the relevancy of literature in the 21st century. Now bookmark that book, and let's begin. This episode is going to be motivated by questions that I've gotten over the years from interested friends and colleagues about reading a book a week. And in the last 30 seconds of the episode, I'm going to read the list of books that I've read this year, which actually is currently at 54 thus far. So question number one, what are the benefits of reading more? I want to start out with a quick fact from the Harvard Business Review that says that reading is a huge factor and it would seem key to success and wealth. I personally obviously cannot attest to this because I'm not yet in the career field, but I can tell you that I am at my happiest when I'm reading a book a week. That article, if you're interested, is actually linked in the description. So reading more will also heighten your ability to communicate. This is somewhat of a no-brainer, but I wanted to mention that reading more improves your writing and improves your speaking as well. The way that we develop as humans has a lot to do with how we spend our time. So if you start spending more time on reading, then you'll automatically adapt better to situations where other modes of communication are directly involved. That and reading more preserves and fosters those precious neural connections going on in your brain. So oftentimes, for example, when I'm in class, the things that other students or professors say remind me of concepts and books that I've read recently, and those connections, no matter how weird or stretched out they may seem, allow me to remember the content better and learn it more deeply. Even if you're out of school, though, you still literally learn hundreds of things per day and communicate with all sorts of people. So reading another book, even if it's just on a whim, can totally change the way you're able to connect with people, as well as the way that you learn on a day-to-day basis. One benefit that I think people don't think about often enough is speed. When I was younger, I got roped into doing a ton of kooky, strange summer activities that I didn't necessarily choose myself, but don't regret all the same. These include ranch training, clown camp, sports camp, and of course, speed reading. I learned a ton in that course, and though I only vaguely remember the information I was taught, I've maintained a reading speed of, on average, a page a minute for classics, or around 400 words per minute. Of course, a secondary factor to this is comprehension, and I would say that as a first read, my comprehension is about at 80%, and a second read can give me a very high comprehension level if I need it. That's why if I have a book that I need to read for class, I'll read the book at least twice as a rule before writing about it. So when I read my list later, you might come across something like The Handmaid's Tale being read three times or something like that. Well, let me tell you a big secret. That is why. But I digress. If you want to calculate your reading speed, just count the number of lines you read in a minute, multiply that by 9, and that is how many words you read per minute. This is obviously because there are about 9 words per line, and then you multiply them and add them all together, you will get your exact reading speed. Question 2. But I'm so busy with work, school, my kids, etc., etc. How can I find time to read more? Another way that this question is often phrased is, but Mackenzie, you're so busy with your podcast and both your degrees and your music and whatnot. How do you have time to even think about picking up a book? My answer to this is probably long-winded, but that's because it's something I've thought about quite extensively and something that I care about quite a bit. And that's simply because I think that every single person that knows how to read and has an interest in reading more can do this challenge of reading a book a week. And every year you do this, it will become easier and easier. That is something I can definitely promise you. So first, I'd recommend looking at your year. This is something that most people do anyway, especially if they're setting a New Year's resolution of working out more or going to the grocery store more often or what have you. So look at your year with the lens of wanting to read more. I'm a college student. I go to Northwestern University. It's not a secret. In fact, I think it's in the description. And I'm doing a program for 2 different bachelor's degrees to be finished in 4 years. Intrinsically then, I understand that when I'm at school, especially as each quarter, yes, quarter, starts and ends, I just won't have what I would consider an adequate amount of time for reading. on the other hand, I know that I have summers and breaks off of school, as well as the weekends and evenings in some cases, so that information can serve as a basis for my overall plan for the year's reading. Then I'd go smaller. Every person listening right now has 30 minutes of downtime in their day. I promise you, it's just something intrinsic. I'm not suggesting that you should dedicate that much needed personal time to reading exclusively, but I would add that 10 minutes a day is 10 pages a day, and that's 10 more pages than you would have been reading otherwise. Something else that sets me perhaps apart from other people is that I only have one social media account that I check once a week, if that. So Apple says that my average phone usage is about 7 hours a week or an hour a day. If you think about it, that means that my low phone usage has gained me at least 2 to 3 more hours than I would have had otherwise on average to read or catch up on things like email. And I know I feel my fellow millennials rolling their eyes at me, perhaps lasering me through the podcast medium, but sometimes even a 48-hour social media detox where you pick up a hard copy of a book for a few hours can do wonders for your mental health. Another thing, one of my favorite facts, is that families before the television used to read while eating. And while I don't suggest this on a dinner date, this is definitely something that I do all the time. If you think about it, most people watch TV or check their phones while they eat anyway, so if you feel you must do something, why not go vintage? Another fact is that nowadays there are tons of different ways to read. I don't listen to audiobooks all that often, but I do read a few from time to time, and I do count them towards my reading list. One tip that I will include with the audiobooks is that you can set the reading speed at 1.5 times the normal speed, so that will decrease the amount of listening time, and don't worry, it will sound weird at first, but you'll get used to it. One of my favorite audiobooks this year was Option B by Adam Grant and Sheryl Sandberg, so if you want an audiobook that's wonderful to check out, that is my recommendation. You might also consider reading a physical book on a commute if you live in a city and aren't driving, of course. Finally, reading doesn't have to be the stereotypic situation where you hole yourself up in your room for hours a day. I would suggest to avoid this pitfall to make a reading club. I do this all the time, both with single friends where we just check in by text or by FaceTime every so often, and with a larger group so that we can get together and actually talk about what we're reading for once. Overall, I've found that it's a wonderful way to motivate yourself to read and actually have fun with what you're reading as well. If you read a lot already and need to break the dirge, this is something that definitely breaks that dirge. Question 3. When a book lulls and you don't feel like reading, how do you not get behind? My answer to this question is actually quite simple. If a book lulls and I don't feel like reading it, one of two things happens. First, I won't read it. Plain and simple. Or if it's something like Dickens, where there are frequent lulls, I'll keep reading in hopes of something that will catch my interest. I suppose that when this happens, I'm also always reading multiple books at a time, so if one lulls, I can easily pick up another. For example, right now I'm reading Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim by David Sedaris, Memento Mori by Muriel Spark, and of course A Tale of Two Cities for Saturday by Charles Dickens. My ideal lineup right now would probably be the Sedaris, a foreign contemporary fiction book like a Danish novel translated into English, and the Dickens, just so that I have varying lengths, topics, genres, and difficulties to prevent against a lull, but the lineup right now is fine too because I'm reading a lot of classics anyways. By the way, this method is also how I get through the longer novels like 1Q84, Anna Karenina, and Killing Commendatore and still stay on track. I think that we mentioned this in the Tolstoy episode a few weeks ago. I digress. In truth, I'd never thought about this question until my friend Priya asked me, so I want to give a shout out to her, and I hope that this answer was somehow adequate and helpful. Oh, and if you supposedly can't read multiple books at a time, try waiting until a lull occurs in your primary book before starting a new one. Perhaps it's just because starting two books at the same time is a bit too much all at once. Question 4. How do you never run out of books to read? As an ode to the minimalists, my pithy answer to this question is voracious reading is a virtuous cycle. Most people have books lying around in their house that they have never read but can't get rid of because of their well-placed intentions to quote-unquote get around to it one day. If you're planning on reading more, even if it's just one more book a month or one more book a year, I would start with that pile. Afterwards, though, what I found is that the more that I read, the more I know what to read next. The first year I read a book a week was when I challenged myself to read a book from every popular genre. So I read books way outside of my comfort zone, as well as my purview. So romance novels, science novels, The Lord of the Rings, you name it. Every time I picked up a new book, I wanted it to change the way I read. And let me tell you, getting through Hawthorne and Hawking and Hemingway for the first time can definitely do that to you. In more recent years, however, I've gone the opposite direction and taken deep dives into authors and genres that I'm just simply curious about. One year, I read the collected works of Kurt Vonnegut. I'm actually still reading some of his postmortem books of letters, by the way. One year, I've read more poetry than I've ever read before, including things like Shakespeare. And this year, I've read more Sidaris, Didion, Murakami, and classics than I initially thought possible. Next year, actually, I'm going to tackle the collected works of another author. There's actually a poll on Twitter if you want to vote to choose which author that is. The options are Murakami, Dostoevsky, Modiano, and Faulkner. I am, of course, at Didion Inn, I-N. On Twitter if you want to vote on that. Anywho, the point is, once you get started, the momentum is already there, and it's quite frankly hard to stop. I don't mean to say that I'm always hold up reading or that I have a problem with it, but I do mean to say that the hardest part about reading a book a week is starting on the first page of the first novel of the year. If you enjoyed the discussion and would like to hear more from me, consider checking out the last episode where I discuss Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens as a part of our hashtag December Dickens series. Everything DH and I can be found at Didion and Hawthorne.blueberry.net, except blueberry is spelled B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. Now you can also follow the show on Twitter with @DidionIn, like I just mentioned. I'll be posting about new lit releases, reading lists, and of course the new projects and episodes relating to DH and I, including the next author whose collective works I'm going to be reading next year. Also, stay tuned for the next episode on Saturday. We'll be diving into A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. I promise this episode will actually be on time this time. It is Dickens, but I can get through it. Still there? One more thing then. Remember that leaving a comment or review on iTunes, Acast, Spotify, or any other guilty pleasure podcast platform helps leverage the show so that other literature enthusiasts can find the community. In other words, it helps a ton. Now stay tuned for my actual reading list. 1. Lord of the Rings number 3 by Tolkien. 2. Dead Eye Dick by Kurt Vonnegut. 3. From Here to Eternity by Dowdy. 4. Palm Sunday by Kurt Vonnegut. 5. The Elephant Vanishes by Murakami. 6. God Bless You, Dr. Kevorkian by Kurt Vonnegut. 7. The Sound and the Fury by Faulkner. 8. Mr. Penumbra's 24-Hour Bookstore by Sloane. 9. A Brief History of Time by Hawking. 10. The Stranger by Camus. 11. Absolutely On Music by Murakami. 12. All the Pretty Horses by McCarthy. 13. Ignition by Philip Roth. 14. 1Q84 by Murakami. 15. All the Pretty Horses again. 16. Let's Explore Diabetes with Owls by David Sedaris. 17. White Noise by Don DeLillo. 18. The Year of Magical Thinking by Didion. 19. Drive by Daniel Pink. 20. The White Book by Hong Kong. 21. If This Isn't Nice, What Is? Kurt Vonnegut. 22. The Secret Agent by Joseph Conrad. 23. Innocence by Roald Dahl. 24. The Death of Ivan Illich and Other Stories, Tolstoy. 25. Calypso by David Sedaris. 26. Human Voices by Penelope Fitzgerald. 27. Anna Karenina by Leo Tolstoy. 28. The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks by Skloot. 29. The White Album by Didion. 30. Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut. 31. The Handmaid's Tale by Atwood. 32. Everything That Remains by The Minimalists. 33. Less by Aust. 34. Beautiful Darkness by Garcia and Stoll. 35. Beautiful Chaos by the same. 36. Beautiful Redemption by the same. 37. Mother Night by Kurt Vonnegut. 38. The Year of Magical Thinking again. 39. The Great Gatsby by Fitzgerald. 40. Clock Dance by Anne Tyler. 41. I Married a Communist by Philip Roth. 42. Handmaid's Tale for a Second Time. 43. Something Wicked This Way Comes by Bradbury. 44. The Wind Up Bird Chronicle, Murakami. 45. Option B by Sheryl Sandberg and Adam Grant. 46. I Am, I Am, I Am by O'Farrell. 47. An Absolutely Remarkable Thing by Green. 48. The Handmaid's Tale, Yes, A Third Time. 49. Frankenstein by Mary Shelley. 50. The Joy Luck Club by Tan. 51. View for Vendetta by Lloyd and Moore. 52. Jailbird by Kurt Vonnegut. 53. Sleep of Memory by Modiano. 54, Oliver Twist by Dickens, and 55, Killing Commendatory by Murakami. I did make a mistake. I did not include Something Wicked This Way Comes in my initial list for some reason, but I did read that for Horrifying Classics. So that is my list of books that I've read this year so far. I will give you an updated list on our last episode of the year coming in 2 weeks. And so I will see you guys on Saturday.